There is no replacement for being in a place where His Spirit is willing to put His blessing, where His Spirit is willing to reside. I have to say tonight that my heart is extremely heavy. I, like you, desire to make heaven my home. I, like you, desire and have made a purpose in my heart that I'm not going by myself. I want to take as many as I can. I want the bus overflowing. Several months back, the Lord put a little message on my heart, a thought. I'll write it on the board here. There are many groups tonight around the world that have united themselves, claiming the name of Christ, and have a desire to reach out, to care for the lost, to bring them in. And in their efforts, they rely upon their intellect, their teaching, their training, their ability to figure it out in their own mind, their ability to try and put their hands upon it. They get together. They think about it. They have little committee meetings, and they want to sit around and they want to talk about what is the best strategy and what can we learn from the business world and what can we learn from different groups that are out there recruiting and endeavoring to do things and reach out to people, and they try to emulate that. But I want you to know tonight, as the singer sang about, the reason we come to Christ is not because somebody figured out in their mind the right words to speak to us. It's not because somebody decided to have the right program to get us a little bit interested and do a little bait and switch and get us to come to Christ. But we come to Christ, if we're truly His, for one reason and one reason only. And that is because He loved us, because He cared for us, because He was willing to not only come, but He was willing to stay. He was willing to stay with you, to stay with me until we were conquered. We talk sometimes. Some folks wonder, where are the signs? Where are the wonders? Where is the power there once was amongst our people and amongst our group? And I'm going to tell you tonight, that power still exists. Yes. I'm going to tell you right now, where I live, because God is faithful and no other reason, that power exists. Yes. There are people that, you know, there are some that want to say people aren't interested anymore. They don't care. And to some degree, I'd be willing to agree with you. But you know, the Lord has a place for us. The Lord's heart, His desire is that we get to a place beyond that line of thought. That we get to a place where we're willing to consecrate our life, our desires, our wants, the things that we want to do. And get to a place where we have within us the love of God that is that has the ability to conquer those that we think don't want it. It's true. It happens. I used to run around chasing that guy, thumping a Bible, making fun of him. Bible thumper! Christian. Goody, goody. His parents took me in. Let me live in their home. And I picked on him. Ridiculed him, sometimes relentlessly. Oh, when other cousins would come over that were a little bit older, I would start to pick on him extra heavy, and when they go away, I kind of play with him a little bit. But then the other cousins come over and it seemed more fun to ridicule and to pick on him because he stood for something, because he believed in something. Can you imagine how his mama felt? Mothers out here, you know what it's like when your children get picked on. You know what his mama did? She prayed. She prayed. And when I went away back to my house in Arizona where I lived and it was no longer summer, you know, she still prayed. She knew the environment that I was in. She knew what I was going through. And there came a time when I came move back up to Oregon. You know, they were willing to let me back in their home. You know what that did? It conquered me. It conquered my heart. There was something in that love that went beyond doctrine. It's important. But there's something in that love that has the ability to touch the heart, to reach out to a soul, to conquer those that think they don't want it, those that run around and do all the things to spite you. They want it. They need it. They got to have it. God, in His wisdom, designed His church to function in a way that requires you and I to be vulnerable. There is no other way. We can't come here with our own pride and want to protect ourselves and hide from everybody else and expect to prosper. It cannot be. But God is designed. Jesus Himself followed the pattern and made Himself to be in a position of vulnerability. For you and I, it can be no different. When it comes to you and I coming to meet the Lord, when it comes to you and I coming to the realization that Jesus Christ truly is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, we have to come to a place where we're willing to allow ourselves to be utterly conquered and laid out, having no desire to protect ourselves, having no desire to stick up for myself, my reputation, or in making an excuse for myself in any such way or form. But I must be vulnerable to Christ. You know, it doesn't stop there. When it comes to our gatherings, when it comes to an assembly of this magnitude and this large, and even in our home congregations, when we gather together, it has to be a place where souls can be comfortable to make themselves vulnerable to Christ and to one another. The scripture says, confess your faults one to another. And I'm going to tell you right now tonight, it is very difficult to confess your faults and to go out. You know what confessing faults are? It's being made vulnerable. It's exposing yourself. It's saying, I'm stripping myself of my pride. I'm stripping myself of all the little walls and decorations that we put up to impress others. And I'm letting you see me for who I am and proclaiming to you that I need help. I'm willing to trust you as my brother, as my sister. I'm willing to cast my soul in your hands. We want souls to be saved. We want people to come into our midst. We have altars. You know, you have to be vulnerable to want to walk down that altar thinking everybody's staring at you. You want to know what the devil does? He wants to talk to people and start saying, well, what's that person going to think? What are they going to say when they leave here about you? See, when it comes to people wanting and trusting and being vulnerable, there is a responsibility for you and I. When it comes to this conquering love, there are things that we need to be doing as a body of believers to procure an environment where people feel safe, where they feel secure, where they're willing to be vulnerable, where they're willing to cast themselves upon you. And God's holy power, God's holy fire will reside in that place, and we'll see the power that we long for. We'll see the miracles. We'll see the healings. We'll see the ability to be able to reach out to a soul that said they didn't want it and get them and greet them at a place of an altar where God can touch them. I want to get a scripture. Talk about three different things that God is not pleased with. Proverbs 17th chapter. Proverbs 17 and 9. It says, he that covereth the transgression seeketh love. But he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. We read over on the other page, Proverbs 18 and 8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. When it comes to the design of God's church, not ours, God's church, when it came to his perfect, holy, just, loving, merciful, omnipotent mind, and in his construction and in his design and the place and the organization that he designed in his church, and for us to be in a place where it's vulnerable, there is a responsibility that is given to you and I that we have to be careful of the way that we speak. You see, the word clearly teaches. Experience in our own lives has confirmed it. Even more so, the Spirit of God will confirm it. That when we get in a place, and I'm not saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me to be free. When we find ourselves engaged in conversation about other people in a malicious manner, and we're casting them in a bad light, and we're talking about them, and others are hearing, think it not strange that God's power departs. Think it not strange that people are unwilling to come down to an altar because they're afraid that the matter may be repeated. They're unwilling to call out to their brothers and sisters in Christ to ask for prayer because there is a lack of confidence, because we have been loose with our words. God, help us all to consider this tonight. According to God's holy power, don't ask somebody else. Don't think of somebody else. Don't ask what others think of you. But rather tonight, the word says, examine your own selves. Prove your own self. Examine your speech. Lord, is there any word that I have spoken? Lord, have I done anything in any way ill-spoken? And maybe somebody heard it. Maybe somebody heard it 2, 3, 4, 5 generations. We need the mercy of God. There's a scripture, I use it often at school. Every idle word that a man speaks, he'll give an account of. There needs to be a holy solemnity about our speech when we're considering other people, when we're considering our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's be honest. We got several hundred people here. We all have different personalities. We all have different ways in which we think and see things. It's only the glory of God that allows us to dwell in unity. It's only God's Spirit that allows us to be in a place where we can look at one another and have a real fervency of love. It's destroyed by gossip. That's the reality. Second chapter of James. It says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. You go on to read the rest of this account, and it used for general purposes a rich man and a poor man. And for that instance, I hope that the Lord will help you not to get caught up on the detail and think it only applies to the rich and the poor, but it applies to any kind of classification you use to distinguish between one person and another. When it comes to our assembly, when it comes to us as a people of God, desiring to have power with God, to be able to go to reach out to souls, we cannot expect to have a respect of persons and God's blessings to be upon us. We cannot expect that we can go and have these ideas and these thoughts. Midwest saints, West Coast saints, East Coast saints, they think this way, they think that way, and we want God's power. It's not possible. There have been, I'll just be candid, there have been a few letters written. And I'm going to be honest, the Lord gave me this message long before any of those were written. Long before. But some issues have been brought up. And I believe God desires us, if we want to be in place where God's blessings fall, if we want to be in a place where we have power to reach out to the lost and dying, we are going to have to get to a place that where I, as an individual, I'm not going to look at you. I'm not going to look at them or them or them or them. And I'm not going to point the finger anywhere. I'm going to look at myself and I'm going to say, Lord, help me not to have a respect of persons. Lord, help me to get beyond this issue of, are they black? Are they white? Are they brown? Are they yellow? Are they red? Lord, help me to get beyond the ideas and the thoughts of the world and the devil that want to bind me, that want to strip me of my power, want to strip me of my ability to live a holy life. Because you go on to read the rest of that chapter, and it tells you that when you have respect of persons, you commit sin. There is no gray area here, and we can't come in our assemblies and have a seat and sit over there and see that brother and have ill will towards him because they are a certain way, because they think a certain way, because they're a certain color. God cannot bless it. We need God's mercy. The truth is, I talk to a lot of different folks when I go different places. I enjoy talking with the saints. And occasionally, not in a malicious way, not in a gossiping way, but it has come to my ears a couple different times of talking to people and about inviting souls and bringing people out to service, especially new saved. And I've heard on more than one occasion, people are a little bit fearful because of some of the environment at home, in a congregation. Now, we could point to it, we could blame, we could cast fingers and do a bunch of different things, but I'm going to ask you tonight, by the Spirit of the Lord, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? They can be conquered. Oh, what's the temptation? Well, I know the truth, let's just go tell them. I'll set them straight. If the Spirit of God has not prompted you to do that, it's not love. It's pride. It's arrogance. And in some cases, it is a form of unbelief. How is that unbelief? When I am unwilling, I'm just going to tell you like the Lord told me, when you see somebody that's struggling, when you see somebody that's not up to standard, when you see somebody that's not doing what they need to be doing, if you really love them, if you're willing to have this conquering love as Jesus had, you're going to find yourself doing what Jesus did, which is getting alone in a wilderness place and getting on your knees and getting on under their burden and putting them in your prayers and bearing them up before God time and time and time again. Lord, there is this soul, they're struggling. You've given me wisdom. You've not told me to speak. I will not speak. I will not speak out of turn, but I will rather, Lord, bear them up before you. I will rather, Lord, trust your Spirit to do what you sent it to do. You see, sometimes in our humanity, there is a temptation, even in our zeal, to want to go say something. People that are newly saved, people that aren't just visiting. I've run across a few people over the last couple of years that used to be among us. Used to be. And they've left. And I have to say that it makes my heart heavy. And in my conversations with them, on multiple occasions, they've claimed hurts. Some of them may be legitimate, some may not. And my point is not to discuss them here tonight and go case by case and determine that. But rather, the point is tonight that we would take time to lift souls up before God. When it comes to me speaking to a soul, that I would get myself in a place that I would be willing to love them first before I correct them. I'm thinking of a specific situation where I'm speaking with a young man who had been to Iraq. He had stared death in the face, possibly killed people. He's got some issues. He's got some things that he's dealing with. He came out to service, and although he had been raised amongst the saints, he is not in a rightful state of being. He is not in a place where we can look at him and say, you know better, you were raised this way, and deal with him harshly. This young man came out, came to service to visit. I don't even know why. But the fact that he came lets me know there was a little something in his heart that yearned for God. And you know what the comment he said? He said, I came, and after service, all they could do was talk to me about short sleeves. He knew better. He was raised that way. He knew what the standard was. His hurt is legitimate. It's not an excuse he's going to be able to stand before God with. Let's get that clear. He is not going to be able to stand before God and say, well, they hurt me. They said things, they spoke out of turn, they did all these different things, and they hurt me. Because God will say, my grace was sufficient for you. My grace was sufficient. But what I want to talk about tonight is not people with hurts and who's to blame and what's going on and here and there. What the Spirit of the Lord desires for us to break up our fallow ground, to humble ourselves down before God. And if we are one that is found having gossip, a respect of persons, and an unbelief, and speaking out of turn and trying to take things into our own hands, that we would humble ourselves down before God and plead His mercy and allow Him to get us to a place where we can have some love that will conquer. One of the benefits of driving out here from the West is that we get to drive through Groom, Texas. Some of you are familiar, some of you aren't. But in Groom, Texas, on the side of the road is a cross that stands 190 feet tall and I believe 180 feet wide. And you can see it for miles. And in that location, there's a gift shop, and they've built little statues indicating the passion of the Christ when he stood before Pilate and all the different scenes of him carrying his cross. They got the crucifixion. They got the tomb that is empty. But in that procession, it's all circled around the cross. And in that procession, there's one little space that goes off to the side. And every time I go there, I visit it. There's a statue of Jesus kneeling down, holding out his hand. There's tears in his eyes and an unborn baby in his hand. They've made it a shrine, a monument, a testament to all the unborn children, the 50 million plus that have been murdered in our country. And as I think on that, I think about the unborn and how helpless they are. They don't have the ability to care for themselves. They don't have that capacity yet. You Neither do the lost. There are millions of people in this world. There are some that grace us with their presence. And they're like an unborn child. They don't possess the power within themselves to do right. They don't possess the power to take care of themselves. When it comes up there, I've drawn a button. It says abort, to quit, to extinguish, to terminate. Just as that shrine is a monument, a testimony to all the children that have been aborted, the Lord brought it to me this way. When it comes to us, and we're out having our discussions, and we get into an area where we're starting to feel a little bit uncomfortable, and we're starting to speak a little out of turn, a little bit of gossip, I want you to think of that soul that you've been trying to reach. And every time you gossip, you've pushed the button. Another life gone. Every time we have respect to persons, another life gone. Every time we decide to have a lack of faith when it comes to having wisdom and dealing with souls, and we speak out of turn, another one gone. Another life. God help us. God give mercy. Lord help us not to terminate one. There's not a day that goes by that I don't think about lost souls. Not a single day. Every single day without failure, one soul or another comes across my mind. Lord, help me. Lord, help me not to hit that button. Lord, get me in a place where I can live in such a way that I can reach out to souls. Lord, help me to get to a place where I'm willing to make some sacrifices, where I'm willing to do something to reach out to that soul. I told you a little bit of my testimony about me getting saved. It was because people were willing to be my friend. They were willing to be inconvenienced. They were willing to give of their time. You know, today the world, they don't have time. You see, you drive your car, you get it by the freeway. I know they probably have them out here too. You get by the freeway and there's people standing there begging. You got a little sign. I need some money. I'm homeless. What does the world usually do? Many pass them by. And a few hand them money out the window. How much time does it take to hand some money out the window? Not much at all, does it? Just crack your window, slide it out, and just keep driving. Don't even look sometimes. You know, there is a temptation for us that when it comes to dealing with souls, when it comes to wanting to reach out to people and to touch them, we want to do a drive-by. Sorry, I don't have a whole lot of time, but the Lord says you need this, okay? And we go on our way. And then we scratch our head and stand in amazement. I told them the truth. What's wrong with them? They don't want it. Really? Is that how Jesus gave it to you? Lord, help me to be patient. Lord, help me to practice what you practice. Lord, help me to have a willing heart to make sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. No matter how many times they offend me. No matter how many times they hurt me and use me and spit upon me. And it seems they always come to... Why do they always come into me? How many times, Lord? Seven? They sang that song. Jesus said, he came and he stayed. He pleaded until there was a conquering. Amen. You and I, as God's children, we have the privilege. There is power freely given to you and I that we can come and we can stay. We can withstand all of their assaults, all of their insults, all of their despiteful usings and everything else that they're willing to throw at us. There is grace for it. If we're willing to sacrifice. 1 Corinthians 13 says, charity suffereth long. There's some suffering. If you want to have a love that is going to conquer a hard heart, you got to have some suffering. You got to be willing to say, Lord, I love them. I'm not going to hit that button. I'm not going to be the one that cuts them off, Lord. But I'm going to be the one that follows in your footsteps. I'm going to give it everything I have. I'm going to consider them in prayer. I am going to be still and know that you are God, and I only speak when you tell me to speak. That's difficult to do. Our natural tendency, our human tendency is, well, we just got to tell them. God's Spirit is faithful. God's Spirit will do its job. And the truth of the matter is, if we go in our own wisdom, in our own, shall I say, church intellect, we're a blessed people. Let's be real honest about this. I didn't grow up amongst you, and I went to several different churches. And I'm spoiled here. I'll be honest, I'm spoiled here. I'm not going anywhere. It doesn't get any better than this. I've seen a lot of different things. It doesn't get any better than this. But there is a temptation to use our mind and rely, and we know it doesn't get any better than this, so we're going to, in our zeal, tell somebody. We lack real conquering power when we can't go in the Spirit. When we go in the Spirit, there is a power, there is an anointing, not just that resides in a pulpit, but there is a power that will go on your life. All the little people that you go and talk to, if you go under the unction of the Spirit, the same anointing that resides in our holy gatherings will reside upon your life wherever you're at. And there will be power. I left home the end of June. And as I left, the Lord just put a heavy burden on my heart for a cousin of mine, Troy, down in Arizona. And so when I got an opportunity to get down there about 2 weeks later, I made a purpose that before I left town, he and I were going to have a talk face to face. You know what required a sacrifice? I had to leave my wife and children. I had to carve out time out of the day and go sit with him. A drive-by isn't going to work. Sometimes a phone call isn't enough. Sometimes you've got to be there face to face, that they can look into your eyes and they can see that there is genuine love, that there is genuine care, that there is genuine concern, and it's not just talk. This man, my cousin, has lived a very hard life. He got involved in drugs. His marriage is falling apart. His family is falling apart. And it's very easy for me to look at his life and say, well, you know what you need to do? You got to do this, 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 and this. But I didn't do that. You know what I did? I told him exactly what God put on my heart. Here is a hard man. I can honestly say I have never seen him cry. Our grandma's funeral, he was very close to our grandma. Didn't see him cry. Aunt's funeral, didn't cry. Well, I'm going to tell you what happened in the bedroom when he and I had a conversation. God's Holy Spirit, the power of God that conquers even the hardest of hearts, drove that man to tears. It's not me. It's God. It's being in a place that I'm willing to suffer. I'm willing to pray. I'm willing to bear people up. I'm willing to move and operate according to God's Spirit and God's timing. And all the other stuff that I see, it reminds me of that song. Regarding not what I may see. We see a lot of things. We look at people. We see a lot. Oh, that's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. Give it to the Lord. Give it to Him. Let Him take care of it. You see something that's wrong in your brother and you want to conquer them. bear them up to the Lord. Get on your knees. Show them love that they don't even know yet. Said also that love is patient. When it comes to conquering a soul, it doesn't always happen right away. The Lord gave it to me this way. We are not used car salesmen. We're not in a hurry to close the deal. We don't have to worry that if you come onto our lot and look around and think, well, I'm a little bit interested, and then you go out and then you leave. You know what happens on a used car lot, even a new car lot? Oh, they do everything they can that you don't leave. Oh, wait a minute. We got another deal. Hold on. There's more. Because they know, statistics tell them 90% of the time, if you leave the lot and you didn't buy anything, you're not coming back. How much do you believe in what we live? Is it good enough that somebody can come and take a little look and go and have a desire to come back? That's how God wants us to live. That's what this conquering love is, that we would live in such a way that we would be so excited and joyful about our salvation, that we would be a people that when people come into our midst and they look around and they say, I have never seen a group of people that have so much love for God and have so much love for other people. There is something to this. Yes. I want us to live. I want myself to live. God, help me to live in such a way that when I come to service, that I can add to the environment so that when someone comes to visit, if I'm not able to close the deal then, there will be a time in the future. That's what we have to offer. I have a young man at home. His name is Nguyen. Little Vietnamese. Took 4 years. But he saved. Amen. Took 4 years. I would have loved to have seen him saved his freshman year. Human intellect would have said, well, man, if you got him saved then, you could have worked with him for 3 years, been really strong, could have reached out and done all these different things. That wasn't God's plan. Right. Mm-hmm. God was dealing with this young man. This young man had to go through some things and understand some things. God understood that young man, that he's a thinker. Yes. And it takes time, and he has to consider. Lord, help me not to rush the process. Yes. But Lord, help me to be in a place. See, this is where it's going to take some time. Okay? Because the truth of the matter is, we can't just go home, open up our Bible, or sit on our knees and pray for a couple minutes and know the will of the Lord. It's not going to happen. This isn't a McDonald's salvation. We have got to spend some time in prayer, meditation, seeking, availing ourselves of the grace of God, consecrating ourselves, examining ourselves. Lord, is there anything in me that is hindering your work? Is there anything that holds me back from drawing close to you? And then we're in a place where we can start seeking after souls. See, there's a whole lot of work we got to do on the beginning. And then we can get to a place, Lord, who would you have me speak to? What would you have me to say? What would you have me to do? And you'll find, I'm going to tell you what God's going to do. He's going to give you little bits and pieces here and there. The Lord came to me and he says, hey, I want you to tell Nguyen today this. So I'd see Nguyen in the hallway. I'd say, hey, Nguyen, when you get a chance sometime today, I need to speak to you. Well, he was curious. What do you need to speak to me for? Yeah. What is this? And he would come and he'd seek me out. We'd have opportunity to talk. And I'd say, hey, I just want you to know. This is where that scripture comes in. The Lord has been teaching me this last 4 years. To do good and communicate, forget not. See, we oftentimes will do stuff that's good, but we don't tell people. The Lord wants us to be in a place where we can tell people, you know what I'm doing? I go home at night and I think about you. And I'm not thinking ill. I'm not speaking bad of you. But you know what I do? I pray for you. That's conquering love. I am taking time out of my life. I'm not trying to get you with the drive-by. I am trying to take time before God, put myself prostrate before Him, consider your life, consider your soul, your personality, and asking Him what I can do to help you on your way. And you know what the Lord did? In His faithfulness, the Lord gave me things to speak to this young man. And you know what happened?
Lord would give discernment, things that were going on in his life that I had no clue what was happening. And I'd say, hey, guess what? The Lord told me this is what's happening in your life, and this is the solution. And that young man would be broken and in tears. I can't do that in myself. Only God can give that kind of power. And there is something that is in that kind of power that causes people to stop. They can't just and blow it off. It's not possible. When there's that kind of power, when there's that kind of discernment, when there is that kind of genuine love, yes, they can't help but be interested. They can't help but be a little bit curious. And by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, if we'll continue to be faithful, if we'll continue to be patient and avail ourselves and pray for them, God will bring them our way again. And again, and again, like the little rabbit, hops up, takes a little nibble, and runs away. Why? Because it's scared. Is it safe? Lord, help me to live in such a way that I can create a safe environment. Whether it's in service or out of service, where they'll come and they'll take a little nibble, they'll get a little piece of what I got. And a little more and a little more. Young man's been saved over a year. Still living for the Lord, solid. You know, the Lord also, if we want to have conquering love, we got to be a visionary. Conquering love doesn't see the situation. It sees what it could be. I remember when I first got saved, there was a song, "He saw not what I was, but what I could be." It can be no different for us when it comes to us desiring to reach our goal, which is to make heaven and take as many as we can with us. There are specific things that we can be doing. And one of them is we need to be visionaries. Yes. Not in our own imagination, but according to God. Yes. You see, the Lord did this very same thing. I won't take the time to read it. Those of you who want to write the scripture down, it's Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And in there is the account of the story of the four men that ripped off the roof and lowered their friend down in, the head palsy. Now, I'll be honest, I'm not the smartest person. I didn't know what palsy was. I had to look it up. And I started getting a little understanding of the history. And I got a greater understanding of that verse. In that day and time, men, especially, caught palsy as a direct result of their sin. They would be fornicators. They would be loose with their bodies. And they would go out and they would contract venereal diseases. And because of medicine not being the ability that it was in our day and time, because they were not in a place where God could heal them, they contracted this disease and it ran its course. They got palsy. And what was the reaction of the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the supposed spiritual leaders? What was their attitude towards it? You got what you deserved. That was common accepted belief and mindset in society. You went out, you played the fornicator, you contracted the disease, you suffer the consequence. When they ripped off that roof and they were lowering that man down and Jesus looked up, you think he smiled? There's a man that's making himself vulnerable. Jesus looked past his sins. Jesus looked past the circumstance. Jesus was a little bit different than the people of the time. He didn't say, "You got what you deserve, don't trouble us, I'm busy teaching all these other people who have lived better lives." If we want God's power, if we want to be able to truly conquer hearts, not minds, hearts, we're going to have a little bit of a vision that God gives us. We're going to have to be able to see beyond the situation, beyond the circumstance, and claim the power of Christ, claim the power of God's Spirit, and look at the situation and not say, how is this situation going to impact me? But rather, let us purpose in our heart and in our minds, Lord, how are you going to use me to impact this situation for your glory? It works. At home, I have a boss. She's openly a lesbian. And I know many of you have heard, and I've told you to the glory of God, we have a Bible club in our public school system. And early on, and she's been at the school for about 8 years, after her first year there, she began to work behind the scenes to manipulate different people and things like that to attack the Bible club. And you can imagine the indignation that I had. She's living a detestable, sin-filled life. And now she's going to attack innocent children that want to do nothing more than gather together in a classroom and read your word, Lord. How dare she? This went on for a period of time. Unbeknownst to me, some feelings started creeping in. I remember driving home one afternoon, and in my mind's eye, her face came up, and all the feelings that rose up within me. There was no love. I'm going to be honest. There was no love. Until God spoke and said, I died for her too. There was a cleansing. There was a washing away. God in His mercy was being patient with me, showing me His will, helping me to get to a place where I could have a little bit greater vision. Well, you know, the Lord would have us to have holiness. And some think holiness is always doing the right thing the first time. That's not so. It's not so. Part of holiness is coming to the place of humility and recognizing I did it wrong. And owning up to it and saying, by the grace of God, I will not be there again. I will not do that again. And I'm sorry. Which is why the Lord, when He got done with that vision and cleansing me, I was feeling pretty good. The Lord says, you're not done yet. You need to go apologize. But Lord, she didn't even know any of this stuff that was going on. She didn't know any of it. Aren't we good at hiding things? Let's be honest. See why it's important that we create an environment where people can be vulnerable? I'm casting myself out here tonight because I believe and I trust in you that I can make myself vulnerable and tell you where I am and where God has taken me. So I went and I apologized. And it brought tears to her eyes. And I was able to tell her, this is what God told me, that He wants me to be a friend to you just like He is to me. And that's what I've done. This last year, walking down the hall, start hearing some rumors, gossip. Your boss is going to give you a bad evaluation. A person that should know nothing about this just says, hey, I'm praying for you. What do you know that I don't? He began to share details how he heard that my boss, because she's retiring, decided she was going to get me. She was going to give me a poor evaluation, which could potentially affect my employment. Lord, we live on a single income. She's messing with your child. Oh, yeah. I mean, thought was there. I'm going to tell you what God did for me. God gave me a glimpse of victory that I didn't realize was possible. God brought me to a place. We read that scripture, pray for them that despitefully use you. And we understand it in our head. We can quote scripture. We know. We have an intellectual understanding. It's one thing to know it. It's one thing to tell it to somebody else that's going through it. And it's entirely different when you're the one that's going through it. I'm going through all this. I'm working on trying to get myself to heaven. But at the same time, I don't want to hit that button on her. Christ died for her. It took a couple of days. It took a lot of time alone. Praying. Begging God. Lord, have mercy. Lord, help me. Help me to see. Help me to have an understanding. Help me to see things as you see them. And I'm going to tell you tonight, to the glory of God, that God was able to get me to a place where I could pray for her as I would for my own children and pray for her salvation. I can't do that in myself. You know what I did with that kind of victory? I put it to work. I sought her out 2 days before the year was over and she was going to leave. I went to her office. Uninvited. Unscheduled. And said, I need to talk to you. You're getting ready to retire and I have a few things that I need to share with you. Under the unction of the Spirit. And so I went into that office. And I said, I want you to know that I thank God that He brought you into my life. Because you have helped me spiritually grow. You've helped me to spiritually prosper. And I thank God that He allowed you to come into my life. And I want you to know that I appreciate you. But I didn't stop there. And I didn't stop because I believe in this conquering love. And I was there under the unction of the Spirit and I was going to use all the power that I could possibly get. And so I asked her, I said, would it be okay if I prayed for you right now? And I put my hands out. And she took my hands. And she bowed her head. And for that moment in time, she was conquered. For that moment in time, she got a glimpse of the glorious body of Christ. She got a glimpse of God's power. She got a glimpse. I am fully confident and I have full faith that the Spirit of God went out and spoke to her heart. And I am fully confident that in the days and times to come, that God is going to use that to speak to her. And I have full confidence that she'll recognize what is truth and what is not. I didn't have to close the deal right then. It wasn't the leading of the Spirit at that time, and I didn't want to go beyond that. People ask, is she saved? And I said, not yet. I'm not done. I know where she lives. I can get her phone number. And I'm not going to quit. We spoke a little bit tonight about some that have been in our midst. Some have fallen away. Some have chose to go other places. Some are contemplating that decision. I want you to know something tonight. I'm not quitting on you either. I will seek you out. I will find you. And you can tell me you don't want to hear it, you don't like it, but you can't stop me from praying. And I am a firm believer that prayer changes things. I've seen God act in a mighty way many times. Many times. And I have full confidence in those that are waffling and not sure. I want you to know something tonight. If you decide to go away, I'm eventually going to find out about it. And don't be surprised if you don't get a phone call from me. It's not to reprimand you. It's not to upbraid you. It's because I love you. It's because I'm unwilling to push that button. regardless of all the different things that you do, regardless of all the different antics you involve yourself to try and get attention. Some people do. They get upset and they go to the extreme and they do crazy stuff and then they come around trying to flaunt it in our face. And what is our normal reaction? How dare they? They were raised better than that. How disrespectful. Lord, help us to get rid of that. Lord, help us to get a mindset that there is a heart that I can conquer. They have a little bit of power. Yeah, they're yielding themselves to the devil. And as I told them at home and I said in Fresno, the devil has some power tonight. But it's borrowed. Borrowed power. Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. What do you want to conquer? What soul is on your heart? We possess the power. God is willing to give it to us, but it's going to take some sacrifice. It's going to take some patience. It's going to take a little bit of suffering on our behalf, just like Christ did for us. But we can do it. By the grace of God, we can create an environment where people will trust us. Where people are willing to be made vulnerable. And in a gathering like this, when we have a desire, because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, as sure as we're all sitting here, there are some souls tonight that aren't saved. And I want you to know tonight, I'm not going to push that button on you. That's the consecration we're making as God's children. But rather, I want to be in a place where I take time to get to know you. Know your likes, your dislikes, how you think, how you operate, so that I can be in a position that when the time comes, that like the Apostle Paul in Galatians 4:19, he says, little children of whom I travail in birth till Christ be formed in you. There's a travailing. I think about that. I think about a mother. They go through a lot of pain, don't they? Childbirth. I've seen it. I can only imagine how painful it is. Oh, but the joy at the birth. Lord, help us to be willing to go through the pain, to have a vision of the birth and what it's going to be like. And if you're here tonight, I'm going to tell you, I'm willing to suffer. I'm willing to do whatever God calls me to do, that you would come to know Jesus Christ like I do. So I want to tell you something about Jesus Christ. He's never failed me. He's never let me down. There are times when people just don't understand. I try to communicate and people still don't get it, and I get frustrated with myself because I'm not able to communicate it. You know what I found? That if I get on my knees and I give it to Christ, that He understands. He is able to apply a healing balm. He is able to apply a realization, a witness to my soul that He hears. That He understands, and that He's going to do something about it. There was a young lady that I had in class, F student, lousy student, show up all the time, never do anything, want to talk to all of her friends. I'd try every single thing I could think of to help her. Let me sit down. Let me show you how to do this. Let me partner with this person. Everything. Nothing worked. I'd try to talk to her, get to know her a little bit. The next year, she was a straight A student. What happened? Am I that bad of a teacher? We have those kinds of thoughts. I'll never forget Claudia Puja. She was shy, backward, wouldn't draw attention to herself, didn't want to do anything. Then the following year, there she stood in the midst of our faculty meeting, about 100 teachers. And she began to tell her story. Claudia was living, when I had her as a student, she was living in a home where the father was not only verbally, but he was physically abusive. And the mother did nothing to support her. And her life was a nightmare that she had to live in day in and day out. And something happened over the summer. She got sent into foster care, and she went from house to house to house, and she was wondering and just, what's going to happen? Where am I going to live? What's life all about? What, all this? And eventually, one of the teachers at the school, he and his wife stepped up, and they said, Claudia, may we adopt you? Will you come into our home? Will you be our child? Will you allow me to care for you? Will you allow me to love you and give you warmth and love that you've never known? The following year, Claudia was a straight-A student. It wasn't because she didn't have the ability. But there were some other things that were going on. And they weren't being addressed. As her teacher, I wasn't able to get at the heart of the matter. There are people out there. They're lost. They're undone. They're F students. When it comes to life, when it comes to pleasing God and loving God, the truth is that if you can't live above sin and free from sin, you can't prove and demonstrate love to God. You can say it. You can say it. But you can't act it. That's why when Christ came, and he said he came to set us free, he made us free to be able to love God in return. That's the freedom we have. To be able to love God. To be able to do the things that please God. To have power over my flesh. Over my carnal man. Over the forces that work against me. To work contrary to God. Christ sets us free. That we might love Him. There was not a single dry eye in that faculty meeting. As Claudia spoke. Everybody was amazed. Claudia, how could you make such a transformation? What? Tell us so we can do it with everybody else. She spoke a little bit, described her background, what was going on, and how that she was adopted. And you know what she said? I'll never forget her words. She said, all I needed was someone to love me. All I needed was someone to believe in me. Lord, help us. To put away idle tongue, respect of persons, unbelief. Lord, help us to cast it all aside. Lord, all these little divisions, these little thoughts and things that want to get our attention and get us all caught up. Lord, help us to cast it aside and concentrate on the things that matter most, which is living according to God's standard. When it comes to reaching out to souls, there doesn't need to be a compromise of standard on our behalf. Live it. Live it. They'll see it. It'll create a desire in people. I know because I do it year after year after year. And I have kid after kid, an adult. And they come and they say, there's something different about you. What is it? I didn't have to go tell them. They came and asked me. Why? Because there is power in living this way. There is power that we have with God. That we have something to offer the world. And we possess the ability to conquer souls. Some would say, brother, I appreciate what you're saying, and I believe in it, but when I get back home, it's not like that. My question to you is the same as it was in the beginning. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? The scripture the Lord gave me in talking about it, there is a temptation. I think sometimes, especially for young people, they have a keen awareness of hypocrisy. That's the truth. And as adults, we have some awareness of it. And so we look at that. We see the standard. We know what God requires of what God desires. We see the power that we can have. And then we think, well, that person's not doing it, but they claim to be saved. Well, that person's struggling. You know what the Lord told me? He said, be thou an example. Not among the world. Not among the other churches. But be thou an example among the believers. What are you going to do about it? The choice is yours. The choice is mine. But when it comes to all these frivolous little things, these little things that want to pull us apart and divide and take away our energy, take away our power. Lord, help us on an individual basis in our own prayer closet to get the victory over that. Lord, help us to get to a place where I love my brothers and sisters in the Lord, that I have no bone of contention between them. And if I see my brother falling short, if I see that you're not doing what I think you ought to be doing, Lord, help me not to get it to a place where there's some division, but Lord, teach me how to get on my knees and pray down some victory in my brothers and sisters' lives. Lord, teach me how to love them as you love me. And you know what we'll see? We'll see people come in our midst. They're going to see a real, genuine love that can't be manufactured. They're going to see a real power of God's Spirit and God's anointing on our lives. And they're going to look around and they're going to behold this and they're going to say, how do I get that? How do I get this? This is real. This is different than what I saw at that other place. There's a reason. I told you I went different places. There's a reason why I'm here. Because it's real. If you're here tonight and you're wondering, you can have it too. It's yours. You can look around. Maybe there's some people that invited you and you're thinking, well, they don't have it like you're saying. I'm going to be honest. You can get a better experience than that. The choice is yours. You can get what you need. You can get real power. Amen.